Never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this hour of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Our special guest, Mr. Paul McGuire, a good friend of the program, good friend, just an amazing writer, an amazing speaker. He's a professor of eschatology. His books include The Babylon Code, Mass Awakening, Standing Down Goliath, A Prophecy of the Future of America, and
David Dollard.
Oh, yes, yes.
One of my favorites.
And I cannot get enough, personally, of his writings. Very informative, and he's got a very talent. I mean, he's very talented in terms of his ability to convey information. And now, coming out, please pre-order A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. Pre-order that now. Be one of the first to get it, because the information contained in his latest work is really, to me, will be the culmination of the previous books, but a standalone from the previous books as well. This is kind of tying everything together. And while we're on the subject of Paul McGuire, folks, visit paulmcguire.us for all of his articles, for all of the information related to his books and such. But also, mark your calendars for May 26th, 2016, right? 2 weeks. It's actually 2 weeks from yesterday. May 26th. If you're anywhere within a day's drive of Beverly Hills, the Garland Hotel, on Vinland Avenue, North Hollywood, California. If you're within a day's drive, I really recommend your attendance at the Prophecy and Intercessory Prayer Meeting with Paul McGuire, sponsored by Paradise Mountain Church at 7 p.m. You've got to register. Parking is free. But go to paulmcguire.us, and where it says click here to register today, please do that. Please attend. I've gotten so many emails. We have, both Joe and I have gotten so many emails from people who attended and said, really a life-changing event, life-altering, very spiritually powerful. And that's Paul McGuire. And if you've ever listened to Paul McGuire in person, you know it's powerful. I didn't want to go on with that, but I cannot stress that enough. It's really, if I was within a day's drive, I'd be there, and I'd be at every one of those, because they're just powerful. So we're lucky to have Paul McGuire on with us right now. And of course, catch Paul McGuire tonight at 11 o'clock in Caravan of the Midnight. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, we're talking about the book, Paul. I've got a question. Will there be an audiobook option for this latest book?
Yeah, there's going to be audiobook options for all of the books. There is one for the Babylon Code, but we're gearing into doing audio options, because I'm getting a lot of people who want that. So, yeah, that will happen. But there will also be 4 DVDs if they want to get that too. But yeah, we're moving towards the audio option. We're in the middle of we just launched a Roku channel, the Paul McGuire Report, and we're completing our TV studio, and we want to live stream our church meetings so people, you know, across the country and the world who can't physically drive will be able to watch it live streaming, let's say on YouTube or whatever, so we're getting the rest of the equipment we need for that. And the one thing I want to say about the meeting coming up, it's free. We do ask that you register, but if you're going to park on the hotel grounds, the hotel will charge you a parking fee. And if you want to not pay the parking fee, then you just be prepared to park like two blocks away and walk, because I don't want anyone to be surprised. Or if you buy a lunch or something, then they waive the parking thing. But it's very hard to get parking in LA, so that's the best we could do. But it's a good thing to come to, and you know, we pray beforehand, and the Lord has been honoring these prayers for America and for our nation. And I don't have a ministry where I promote, let's say, physical healing or whatever. I mean, I believe in physical healing, but I don't go out of my way to promote these things. But God has been performing miracles, physical healing, people being delivered from things, financial miracles, speaking to people with their careers, their marriages. He's been moving miraculously, and I think that's because we've been really seeking him, which brings me back to one of the principles in A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. There's a lot in the book that not only unmasks the financial system in America and the world, but I talk about principles. Let's go back to Satan being the temporary god of this world, and he's in charge of the monetary system. So we know that Satan is the father of lies, and Satan's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. Jesus, of course, is the way, the truth, and the life. So when Satan assumed command as the temporary god of this world, he maintains his authority over the economic system, the political system, and the media and the culture and other systems, always through lies. And people believe the lies because they don't read his word, so they reject the word and they believe his lies. Let's talk about for a moment this powerful scriptural principle. God says in his word, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you." Now, people come to me all the time, and they want counseling, and they want me to pray for them, and I'm happy to do it as I can. But inevitably, I've noticed from counseling and talking with people after decades of ministry, a lot of people want quick fix formulas to financial problems or career problems and things like that. I believe people should be prepared, by the way. I think that's prudent. And those are the practical things we can do. And people need to invest properly and diversify, etc. But if they just scramble and do that and ignore one of the overarching principles, which is seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added to you, they will not see the blessing of God in the other financial or provisional areas of their life. So, for example, if you are just obsessed with storing away money or prepping or writing out checks to a ministry that really isn't doing what God wants them to do, it really isn't preaching the gospel, you're just writing out checks because of, you know, it's a good Christian social club and you feel comfortable there, God doesn't bless that. So what God says is, if you seek first the kingdom of heaven, if you seek his kingdom first, if you seek him first, that all these things will be added to you. So what God is saying is that if any one of us will seek first the kingdom of God, and that's not all that complicated a procedure, we just start talking to God and then we start listening to God, God says all these things will be added unto us. What that means is that God will pour out his supernatural blessing. And that means God will give us divine guidance and wisdom on where to invest or where not to invest, or whether to buy gold or silver, or what to do in terms of prepping, or where to live physically, or give us a dream or a warning. God supernaturally begins to bless his people, and he supernaturally provides for his people. He'll multiply your investments and your efforts. You'll find yourself, assuming you're doing your job diligently, you'll find yourself having favor at work and promotion and a platform. But again, none of this, a lot of people are scrambling after all these specific things. They're scrambling after the better position. They're scrambling after the promotion. They're scrambling after this and that with everything in them. All their energy and time and talent is thrown into pursuing, let's say, being promoted or getting a better office and a bigger paycheck or a better position or whatever. But if they do that, what they're doing is they're neglecting seeking first the kingdom of God. And therefore, the blessing of God is not on what they're doing. So if they were to make a slight change in their spiritual syncing up with God, and if they were to seek first the kingdom of God, and I live by this principle, I live by it. I say to myself, what does God want me to write? What does God want me to minister on? What does God want me to speak about? And then I endeavor to do what the Lord tells me to do. Now, when I do that, I see his supernatural blessing. I see his supernatural provision. I see him opening doors. I see him watching my back supernaturally. I see him giving me favor. All these things are added to me. It doesn't mean I don't have trials and temptations and adversity. Of course I do. But if we will seek first the kingdom of heaven, we can experience the supernatural blessing of God in terms of provision and guidance and multiplication of assets and protection and so on and so forth. So these are some of the things that I deal with in the book, because Satan is the temporary god of this world. And the reality is that there are a lot of people who are following the ways of Lucifer, or Luciferian principles for wealth and success and promotion. And they work to whatever degree, limited degree. But God's people, you're not going to be able to compete with Lucifer in Lucifer's territory using Lucifer's methods and expect to win. It's not going to happen. You have to use God's supernatural kingdom principles. And if you do, you will find that God will supernaturally bless you. He'll prosper you. Doesn't mean you won't have problems, but you can see the supernatural power of God at work in your life. And I believe God is essential that God's people grab this, because we're entering a time period where we're not going to be able to rely on traditional means. In other words, if government is our source, capital S, or our job is our source, capital S, well, let's say government fails or our job disappears or whatever. If we haven't learned to seek first the kingdom of God, we will never be able to access God's supernatural divine supply. And let me quickly give you another illustration. Jesus is ministering, and I include this in the book, and it's applicable to every one of us. Jesus is ministering to 5,000 people, the disciples. He has a little bit of bread and a couple of fishes. There's no way in the world that the 5,000 people that are gathered to hear him minister are going to be fed by a little bit of bread and a couple of fishes. There's no way. They're going to run away or whatever. And his disciples are freaking out because their disciples are using purely their human perception and natural perception. And they come up with the obvious conclusion is, we got 5,000 people and a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. They're not going to get fed. That's the obvious human conclusion. But Jesus did not look at the problem through the grid of human understanding. He looked to his Father as his source. He looked to heaven. He prayed. He blessed the food. He thanked God for it. And then God literally, supernaturally multiplied the loaves and the fishes so there was so much fish and so much bread that 5,000 people had plenty of food. And that principle, every single person listening to your program can use that principle in any area of their life. That's not supposed to be some extraordinary thing. That's supposed to be a normative experience for anybody who's truly supernaturally walking with Jesus Christ. And it's only by supernaturally walking with Jesus Christ that we can overcome the temporary god of this world.
And I think you make an important distinction here. Going back to what you said, we are playing on Lucifer. I mean, we don't have the home field advantage when it comes to venue. Lucifer, we're playing on Lucifer's field here. Now, having said that, okay, and this is a question that we often get, or a topic that we often broach here. What you had just said too about the blessings being multiplied through the loaves and fishes and sufficiency, and not relying on the state as your capital S source and such. As the end time approaches here, or as this new world order begins to coalesce, and we see the squeeze being put on the entire world, but in particular people here in America or anyone listening to this in the West, you're saying that we can survive. We can survive what's coming if we use our intellect and kind of our prowess and understand the times, and we can kind of stay ahead a little bit of the mark of the beast technology. And is that, I'm trying to make sense of this, or be as articulate as possible here, as we're being thrown into this system, this beast system. We can, through prayer and through spiritual prowess at this point, we can perhaps survive the system, right? I mean, that's what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I'm saying it. That's pretty much what I'm saying, but I want to add some slight modifications. And one would be, as we walk with God supernaturally, which simply means that what does God want from us more than anything else? He wants a relationship with us. So that starts with us receiving him as our personal Lord and Savior and becoming born again. And then he wants to walk with us like he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. And we talk to him and he talks to us. And we always have to remember that God is love. I mean, God is righteous and God is holy, but God is love. And God desires to have a relationship with us. And he wants to bless us. And those things are kind of like foundational, but it's amazing how people forget them. God is a loving heavenly Father, and that's the way he describes himself, a loving heavenly Father. Jesus Christ made a point of saying that we will be his friends. So Jesus is not only our Lord, we're the friends of Jesus. Jesus also taught us that we're to love one another. And by this, all men will know that we're his disciples. So there's no ultra-simplistic formula, and I think it's very dangerous to try to adopt an ultra-simplistic formula. When I say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you, that's not a simplistic formula. That's a principle. But God may supply your needs through government. You may be entitled to a pension. You may need for whatever period of time a Social Security check or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with benefiting from that, especially if you've worked your tail off and paid into it. So the point is that there's no situation in the last days, which we're in, where it's static, where it's frozen. We're in a constantly changing, dynamic situation which the way we deal and relate to our reality is continually changing week by week, and it's happening very quickly. So the key is not learning one set of skills or one formula for doing something. The key is to walk in a ever-changing dynamic relationship with God, where he's communicating to us and we're communicating to him. In that process, God will supernaturally lead us and guide us. He'll speak to us through the still small voice. He'll speak to us through his word. He'll speak to us through other people. He may speak to us in visions and dreams. But if we're endeavoring to seek God first, he will speak to us, and he'll give us warnings, and he'll say, you know, this is the way, walk ye in it, or you'll get this impression. You know, if you're seeking the Lord, let's say you're looking for a job or whatever, and this has happened to me in my life and people's lives that I know. I remember numerous times in my life, because I've always had a strange career path. I mean, anything from being unemployed to being executive producer on a feature film. I mean, you know, you just don't know where what's going to happen from day to day. And so I remember waking up, and I had pitched a film deal for a feature film. And months were going by, and nothing happened. And it was just a bunch of talking, and my bank account was dwindling down to nothing. And part of me was like getting, you know, freaked out, because this feature film deal wasn't coming together. And I believe God wanted me to produce this film. So I was invited over to this prayer meeting with a bunch of Christian businessmen. And the Christian businessman who was leading the meeting, he led us in a time of communion and worshiping the Lord in prayer. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because I didn't run home, there's a place for this, and make 100 more phone calls trying to get the door open. I was seeking first the kingdom of God. You got to do both. So I was gathering together, seeking the Lord, taking communion, worshiping the Lord. And I remember the man telling us that after we take communion, that we should pray specifically as the Lord was leading us for what we felt God was directing us to pray for. And so I felt very strongly by praying with my wife that I felt led by the Lord that I was to pray that all the obstacles would be removed regarding this film deal. And so I felt an unction from the Holy Spirit. I felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit to do that. And I prayed. And then we went to bed and went to sleep, and then woke up the next day. And then mysteriously, out of nowhere, I got a phone call from the company, and the feature film project that had been frozen for like 7 months unthawed. And the next thing I knew, I was executive producing a feature film. Now, I know for a fact that that happened not just because of my diligence or making phone calls or making a proposal. Ultimately, that deal came together because the hand of God supernaturally moved in my situation. And I also felt that prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit, where he wanted to guide me. And this has happened countless times, where you get this supernatural inner knowing that you need to call this person, or you need to pursue this thing. And if you're listening and you follow it, you find that God is very busy opening doors for you and helping you. And that's that comes out of a supernatural relationship with God. And so if we separate ourselves from that, then we're just struggling in the mud pit with everybody else. But if we're bothering to walk with God and listen to God, God will make a way where there is no way. And we can be, it's not like we get a red carpet treatment, but God watches our back. And, you know, he said to his followers, I didn't leave you in this world as orphans. I didn't dump you in the world as orphans. I gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're not orphans. And so every person who has accepted Christ in their lives has the Holy Spirit living inside them. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit guides us in business as well as relationships and theology. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit counsels us. Now, that's an asset that you're never going to get at a Tony Robbins motivational meeting or a business seminar. Walking in a supernatural relationship with God and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have supernatural resources, so you need to take advantage of them.
How many people, we don't hear really at all people talking about the very thing you're talking about. And it's interesting how you really prefaced what you said or bracketed what you said with respect to your own personal experience where, and we found this to be the case here as well. You know, if we set out to do something, we are running into resistance, we have to go back and we have to pray about it. We have to pray very specifically about it and not try to do this on our own or push forward in a manner that is more, earthly than spiritual, I suppose. I don't know how else to describe mm-hmm. that, you know. So, yeah, you're exactly right. And it's this kind of behavior, if you will, is more important to me today, I think. And I can see the importance and the effectiveness and the need for this because sometimes God tweaks our plans a little bit, you know.
A lot. Yeah, he tweaks our plans, you know. The steps of a man. A man may plan his steps, but I'm paraphrasing, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So we may plan our way and commit our way to the Lord, but he may change things. He may shut one door and open a door. It's like, you know, some people think, well, God this told me that this girl's going to marry me, or God told me that this guy's going to marry me, or whatever. But if the other person isn't interested, then you didn't hear from God. You know, it's wishful thinking. And then there's other times when it comes to jobs or employment or business deals or whatever, where we feel a check in our spirit. We feel that something isn't right, or we feel a discernment that we need to back off and reevaluate. But sometimes in our zeal to press on and make things happen, we'll ignore the voice of the Lord, and the next thing we know, we're involved in a business deal with somebody that it doesn't turn out right. And if we are honest with ourselves, the Lord was warning us, but we just chose not to heed the warning. And this is how God... Yeah, this is how God supernaturally will supply for his people in the last days. The other thing is I write about in the book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, is what I call a non-biblical pessimism. You know, we're in a very intense time in the United States, the most intense time we've ever been in. The global economy is very fragile. The national economy is very fragile. And then we look at the middle class, and I talk a lot about the middle class and economics in the book. I talk about the fact that, you know, essentially the outsourcing has drained good-paying middle-class jobs out of the country. And, you know, I just walk around my neighborhood, and I can watch all the bull on the news media I want, but I see major retailers, national chains, closing all over the place. And so that I can just visually see the fact that our economy is not good. So the other thing is that not only are people making less money, but the money that they actually make has less buying power because the dollar is inflated. And these are real adverse factors towards hardworking middle-class people. But now, here's where we have to do kind of like a reality check on ourselves. Yeah, okay, maybe some liberal politicians or crooked politicians or whatever signed trade treaties, they outsourced the jobs, they moved manufacturing overseas, and I give all kinds of data about this. But let's be honest, if we as individuals this whole time were truly seeking the Lord as our source, capital S, and not just going around on cruise control and falsely assuming that the good times would never end, which is basically what most of the middle class did. It became narcissistic, it became materialistic, it became indulgent, it stopped listening to God. And you know, there are exceptions, but that's basically what the middle class did. So now the chickens have come home to roost, and we're facing some very severe problems. But we need to be honest with ourselves and say, hey, we really weren't listening to God, because God was warning us. So, fortunately, God is loving, and God is forgiving. And just because we blew it in the past doesn't mean God won't give us a second, a third, or a fourth chance. So if we'll seek the Lord and we'll look to him as our source, capital S, we can reject what I call this non-biblical pessimism. I'm not talking about, you know, euphoria or utopia and, you know, America becoming some kind of Disneyland in the next 5 years. But we're looking at catastrophic events, but God can and wants to supernaturally intervene in the geopolitics, in the economy, and we have to stop limiting what we believe God can and cannot do based on our finite mind's analysis. And let me give you a case in point in that. We all the time, subconsciously, we make decisions about what God can and cannot do with the economy or with our lives and all kinds of things. So we limit God. We put God in a box of our own making. But the one thing that the Bible teaches us from Genesis to Revelation, and that is whenever his people turned towards him, first in repentance, confession of sin, and began to seek his face with all their heart, soul, and mind, God always, if that repentance and seeking his face was sincere, God always would supernaturally intervene on behalf of his people. So there are people listening to your program right now, and they're listening to us talk. And I believe that as they listen to us talk, the Holy Spirit is ministering to them through the conversation, and the Holy Spirit is attempting to speak to them, because there are people listening who have allowed themselves to enter a state of hopelessness and despair and pessimism, and they falsely have concluded that there's no way out for their lives, or they have falsely concluded that things can't really get better, or that God can't really do something powerful and dynamic and good in their lives. And they falsely have concluded, based on an improper understanding of the Word of God, that somehow they deserve to be punished and to have to etch out an impoverished existence. And that's not what God's Word says. The Lord is speaking to countless numbers of people listening to your program right now, and the Holy Spirit is very clearly communicating to them that they need to raise the level of their expectation as to what God can and cannot do. And I'm going to take it further than that. There are people listening that have come to a false conclusion that God cannot do certain good things in their lives and the lives of their family members, that they're kind of stuck at this particular level. And it's a false conclusion, but they're absolutely convinced that they're theologically right. And so, in a sense, they're damning themselves to a very bleak future. And I just want to challenge those people that have come to what I consider a false conclusion about reality in light of who God is. You don't, and I don't, have the right to define with our finite human minds what God can and cannot do. You know, the Word of God says all things are possible with God. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is not pleased when a man or a woman under the guise of being spiritual or under the guise of being humble, in actuality has a inner heart of unbelief, and they are blocking themselves off from the blessings of God. They're blocking themselves off from God's supernatural provision. They're blocking themselves off from God really using them in dynamic and powerful ways, because they've erected an idol, just like the children of Israel built a golden calf and had an orgy and a party around a golden calf. It's also possible for well-meaning Christians today to erect an idol of God rather than worshiping God. And that idol of God may not be composed of gold, but it's composed of a collection or an assemblage of false ideas, which essentially says your life is doomed to a level of subsistence, poverty, failure, misery, and there's not much you're going to do that's going to change things. And that's the idol. That series of thoughts that I just outlined is an idol that people have constructed. And I'm just sharing with you, as your brother in Christ, as I'm talking to Doug and Joe Hagman on their radio program, I want to suggest to you that you may think you're doing the right thing, but you have inadvertently constructed an idol of who God is, rather than worshiping who God is. And therefore, you're damning your life because you're worshiping an idol. And God wants you to take a hammer, the hammer of his word and the sword of truth, and cut down the idol you've erected in your heart and mind, and worship the true God. And how do you know who the true God is? Well, the true God is the God that is defined or defines himself by his word. So if you're attempting to define God through a kind of self-imposed theological cruelty or masochism, that's destructive and satanic idolatry. In the same way, in India, they have the caste system or the caste system, where people are told from birth that they're of the lower caste or class, and they can't possibly achieve a higher level of wealth or prosperity or education. So they literally walk around as subhumans because their theological belief system has told them that that's their lot in life. Well, we can look at the Indian suffering under the caste system or caste system and have pity on them. But there are Christians in America who have placed themselves in evangelical caste system, where they've embraced the idol of non-biblical pessimism, and they worship the idol that's damning them. And that's Luciferian, and ultimately it is spiritual deception. Because Jesus Christ said the contrary. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," not only spiritually, but economically.
And Paul, I like the way you frame this, because in your books, in particular Mass Awakening and Prophecy of the Future of America, you address this, the language in which we are really being forced to change. I mean, our language is being molded by the Tavistock Institute, and I often,
right.
You know, I make reference to this Tavistockian changing. You know, for example, Twitter limiting us to 140 characters. The Tavistock model of mind control and of programming, where words, the meaning of words, have been changed. So this is right out of the pits of hell, and we have to recognize the fact that we are being held hostage in some ways by the language that we're using, or I don't want to say being forced to use, but being urged to use. And so all of this works together like cogs in this big Luciferian machine. So this is all, I mean, this is, now it's coming together, and I think it's so important for people to realize how we are being gamed, manipulated, and pushed toward this non-biblical pessimism, as you call it, because it was never meant to be, in my view at least, and yours too. We were never meant to be fatalistic in our approach to anything, despite how dark it might get.
Well, you're right, and this whole scientific dictatorship, or the technocratic elite that Aldous Huxley coined the expression. And Aldous Huxley wrote Brave New World, and in his dark utopia in Brave New World, it's a DNA genetic dictatorship where people are genetically bred to be like a slave class, a worker class, a mid-level manager class, and then finally an elite class. And people can't transcend their DNA because they've been genetically engineered to operate on a caste system or a slave system, and alpha, beta, theta, delta classes of people. And this was Huxley's theory, and this is what they have brought about with the scientific dictatorship. So what's going on behind the scenes right now is that people, individuals, are being genetically rewired through the science of eugenics. And while on one hand you have the smiling, happy face telling you, you know, you can do anything you want with your life if you have a good attitude or whatever, in reality, people are being genetically bred for a particular slave position in life. On another hand, through public education and things like Common Core, people are being programmed to be stupid and slaves, or they're programmed for a mid-level position and some are programmed for an elite position. So Huxley wrote about this, H.G. Wells wrote about this, Bertrand Russell wrote about this, Brzezinski wrote about this, and this is the brave new world that we're entering. And public education and the media and drugs program human consciousness, and like you were talking about, vocabulary programs human consciousness. So people are being brainwashed to think inside a very small box, and when they're made stupid by thinking in a small box, then they become slaves, because in order to have a good slave, you have to keep the slave dumb and occupy the slave with, you know, sex, drugs, virtual world sex. You know, virtual world sex is not about sexual pleasure. It's about slavery. It's about people sitting in ghetto apartments smoking crack cocaine and putting on a pair of goggles and having a virtual sexual experience as they live in a tenement with rats and roaches crawling on the walls. It's the cheap man's escape from reality, and it's a method of totalitarian control. Now, but see, God's people are not supposed to be toiling for Pharaoh and building less bricks with less mud and straw. God's people weren't created to be the slaves of Pharaoh or the slaves of Babylon or the slaves of a technocratic scientific dictatorship. God's people were not created to be slaves. But when God's people stop reading the Word of God, when they stop reading, when they stop thinking, I mean, everywhere I go, I see young people and adults with their cell phones and their earbuds, and they're lost in some world, you know, looking at their Facebook or listening to music. I had to go to the doctor's office the other day, and everybody in the doctor's office was probably 40 plus, and every single one of them had their giant cell phones and their earbuds, and they were lost in a Facebook world. Or I'll walk around the streets of California and I'll see kids everywhere listening to music, zoned out in their own virtual worlds. So all these people live in compartmentalized realities, virtual worlds. They can't think. That's why they're going to vote for Bernie Sanders, because they can't think a logical sequence of thoughts. I mean, that's why Bernie Sanders is Santa Claus. He promises them everything they want, and they're so stupid because they've been dumbed down. They think that it's actually possible for Bernie Sanders to give them everything that they want, and nobody has to pay for it, because their intellectual capacity of thinking out a beginning, middle, and end of a Bernie Sanders economic system, they can't do the math in their heads and figure out that it doesn't work, because if it did work, it would have been done thousands of years ago. So by dumbing down the mass population through media, through social media, and other means, then you can enslave people. But God does not want his people to be slaves. I mean, that's the whole thing. God, Jesus Christ, the slave system comes from Babylon. It's the Pharaoh God-King system. It's the technocratic elite, the scientific dictatorship. And God wants his people free from that. And ultimately, as you were saying earlier, Doug, this is all going to a technological mark of the beast, whether it's through DNA modification, you won't be able to buy or sell. All this sales talk about how fabulous the world brain will be, or the hive mind. Now, you know, they're selling the world brain and the hive mind as like it's some kind of ultimate ecstatic experience. But nothing could be further from the truth. If you're merging your brain like in a hive mind, you're like one little bee in a hive of thousands of bees. In the world brain, you lose yourself and individuality, and you merge it into the collective or the state. And notice that all totalitarian regimes require that you sacrifice your identity and your individuality, and you become part of the state. In fact, you as an individual cease to matter. The only thing that's important is the state or the collective or the hive mind or the world brain. Now, this is the biggest con job ever put across on the human race, because in all these dark utopian societies, these communist dictatorships, where they're having a hive mind or a collective or the state or the world brain, what they neglect to reveal to the dumbed down masses is that every one of these dark utopian societies has a 1%, has a filthy rich elite that live like kings and queens. And yes, they're going to sucker punch the public by creating a hive mind, a world brain, or a collective, or the state, but they neglect to tell them that there is still going to be a 1%, just like the pyramid on the back of the dollar. You have the all-seeing eye of Lucifer, the Luciferian elite, but there's going to be an elite class, a ruling class, a scientific dictatorship at the top of the hive mind, or the top of the world brain, or at the top of the collective, or at the top of the state. And for all these brain dead morons who think we're going to go into, you know, the world's going to be one, this great planetary utopia, that's a bunch of BS. There's still going to be a ruling class, and the rest of the people are going to be slaves. But people are dumbed down. They can't see the obvious.
It's very true, and it's a dumbing, the intentional dumbing down. You'd mentioned Bernie Sanders in terms of the socialist and socialism. One thing that the other day I was going through, knowing that you were going to be on tonight, I was going through the your books almost in, well, like in chronological order, as you wrote them. And it was kind of interesting as I was putting them on my bookshelf, and I was looking, skimming through some, and I could see where you were writing, and it was almost as if, Paul, it's like you're a decade ahead or 20 years ahead, because I could see where we're at today. You were talking about 10 years ago at minimum. And I said that just to mention or to ask you about Sanders. What is the and maybe this and I apologize if this is kind of a very sophomore question, but what's the attraction to Sanders aside from that mental, hey, we can, you know, we're entitled, and aside from the entitlement deal. Because I'm really struggling with this, Paul. I see here's a 79-year-old guy who looks like Grandpa Munster with his hair.
Yeah, and Michael Snyder was a guest of ours last night, and he mentioned how if the election was based on 30-year-olds or younger, how Bernie Sanders is winning in a landslide.
Yeah, how is this even possible? Help me out to understand this.
Yeah. I think that the reason Bernie Sanders is so successful and this has been said by the media, but it's true. One is he sounds like, and I think he really believes what he's saying. So he, in a sense, does not have a manufactured synthetic personality. He's speaking from the heart. He is a raging communist, socialist. He really believes it. And therefore, when he speaks, he's got fire in his belly, and he can deliver a passionate message. Number two is he actually deals with a lot of reality, which most of the Republican candidates didn't do, and Hillary certainly doesn't do. He deals with reality. I mean, all these college kids and all these adults have these massive college loans they can't pay off. They don't have jobs. They don't have medical, proper medical care. So Sanders is tuning in to where people are really hurting, and he's dealing with it. These kids are, you know, they all have these college loans, but they can't find a job. So he's addressing that, and so he resonates and he bonds with a lot of people. I mean, I would find him very compelling if I didn't know the end of the story, and that is, even though he connects emotionally with young people, and even though he deals with reality, the fatal flaw in his message is that his economic theory cannot possibly work. So at the end of the day, you can't pay off everybody's college loans and guarantee them great jobs, and because it doesn't work economically, and the system will collapse. We'll end up in a communist slave state, you know, eating a bowl of mush, because it doesn't work. It's an economic impossibility. But at least he's dealing with the real issues, whereas Hillary, I mean, if you were just a Hollywood screenwriter or a Hollywood director or a Hollywood casting director, Hillary Clinton comes off like the cliche of the manipulative, evil, dishonest, I'll change myself. I mean, she just, her media presentation, she just radiates insincerity and dishonesty. She's almost a cliche of an evil person. She has no likability whatsoever. And that's another reason for the Sanders phenomenon. And yet, at the same time, Bernie Sanders addressed far more honestly the issue of trade treaties and many of the other economic issues. Even though I don't agree with Sanders' conclusion, at least he understood the problems, which most of the Republicans didn't get at all. So I think that's the reason for Bernie Sanders. And again, he doesn't come off like a politician. And young people are there's a whole generation of young people now that they got these college degrees and they can't get jobs. And they can't be cops. They can't be firemen. They're hamburger jobs is all they can get after 4 years of college and a huge college loan. Because the politicians have lied to them and outsourced our manufacturing and outsourced our jobs. So at least Sanders is telling a lot of the truth. Maybe not the whole truth, but a lot of it. And he believes what he says.
Interesting. Yeah, and I guess at face I understand that. But, wow, it is really a poor or stunning reflection of the mentality of a lot of the people here in the United States. I mean, think about that, Paul. Reagan, 30 years ago, versus Sanders today. I mean, talk about a difference in ideological perspective and political perspective. My goodness, it's crazy. Folks, May 26th, 2 weeks from yesterday, Paradise Mountain Church the meeting, Prophecy and Intercessory Prayer Meeting with Paul McGuire, May 26, 2016, 7 o'clock p.m. at the Garland Hotel on Vinland Avenue, North Hollywood, California. Boy, register and attend. If you're within a day's drive there, please do so. Go to paulmcguire.us. And right there on top there is the registration, free registration.
Free registration.
Yeah.
Parking, you have to pay for it depending on where you park.
That's right. You could park on top of, you can park on Paul's lawn and walk to the meeting, I think. You might, no, wait, I think it might be $10 for that, but no, just kidding.
No, that's his prayer meetings are always fantastic. We hear back from listeners of ours who go, and you know, Chance of American Survival Wholesale's been to many of them, John Robertson as well, and we've heard nothing but good things. And one of these days we will be in attendance.
Absolutely.
Folks, we'll be right back. We're talking with Paul McGuire for our third and final hour right after this. That's paulmcguire.us.
On
Stay
fire
with us.
Tonight.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.